Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday morning. It is August 20th, a feast or the memorial of St. Bernard, one of the doctors of the church and a great teacher of the faith. Pray for us. So much to talk about today. Really looking forward to catching up with Doug Keck, as we do every Friday, for our Inside Word, as we call it, giving you a heads up on great programming, which will be coming over the next few days and weeks on the network. And what a great past week it was, with EWTN awarding its first Mother Angelica Award to someone just off the charts, Catholic rock star as far as I'm concerned, the amazing Archbishop Charles Chaput. We posted the image of him receiving the award from our own Michael Warsaw last week, and oh boy, Facebook went crazy. Just so many people saying, wow, that is just a perfect recipient for this award. We'll have Doug talk about that a little bit, but also what's coming up in programming. And then speaking of EWTN and Ave Maria Radio and all of our great affiliates out there, thank you for carrying EWTN programming and for being one of our members of our radio family. Today is National Radio Day, so congratulations to all the stations out there and, of course, to our network, EWTN. Talk a little bit about National Radio Day, a little background about radio. That's how I started in the business. And also a fun story about bumping into Marconi, a surprise for me that took place years ago when Deacon Dom and I were in northern Italy for our 25th anniversary. It's not one of those godsidences I should have put in my book, Listening for God. And it just came to me when I was talking to my publicist, Gail. We were mentioning this and just sending out congratulations to EWTN and our other partners at Catholic Radio. And I said, you know, that's something I should have put in my book because it was quite unique. We discovered, and I'll tell you the story at the bottom of the hour in Fact Check Friday, but it was just a really cool experience because we were staying in this beautiful town of Rapallo, and we discovered, didn't even know about this Marian shrine that was at the top of the mountain. And so we go to this Marian shrine, and then we get a hug from God as it relates to Marconi and what he was doing in Rapallo, where he was from, in relationship to the beginning of radio. So I'll give you a little bit more detail coming up, but it's fun. And I think it's something to be positive about, the fact that we have this incredible gift to be able to speak the truth. And that many of our TV programs on EWTN are also carried on the radio. And after Fact Check Friday, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to my dear friend, an amazing reporter and journalist and New York Times bestselling author and host and news director here at EWTN, Raymond Arroyo. A great show last night, the world over. Watched the whole thing. He had excellent guests. And the first half of the show was dedicated to this debacle in Afghanistan. But it was such an in-depth interview. And what Raymond and I are going to be talking about is the lack of depth that's out there in the media, even though here and there, and you'll hear some of the stories that I'll be reporting in the news coming up in just a few minutes, even though here and there you have reality checks with the CNN reporter on the ground saying this is a total mess despite what the president said in his interview the other day, or you have other people at the Washington Post and other media, you have someone on the floor of parliament who served for Great Britain in Afghanistan who is appalled and poured his heart out and was very emotional and almost broke down. We'll have a clip of that. And the media are talking about his response to our quote-unquote withdrawal. So there are glimpses of hope out there. But will this continue, and why has it taken this long? Because when the media, and this is what Raymond and I will talk about, when the media are doing their jobs and serving as the watchdogs that they're supposed to be, then power is held in check. And they can't get away with as much as they normally would get away with. Now, this has even been exemplified for us the last few days. Did you notice that there haven't been regular updates from the White House? The vice president is nowhere to be found. Why isn't she addressing the nation? Why isn't she standing there with Biden? Where is she? She put out one tweet. Now she's heading out somewhere to some trip. And the president, when he does have another press conference earlier this week, what is it about? It's about COVID. And then he walks away with the reporters, all the reporters from the White House press corps yelling at him, asking questions. Why? Because the media are not coddling him, are not throwing him softballs. Some still are, but there are quite a few at some of the bigger secular networks that are finally saying, something might be rotten in Denmark. You think? So anyway, Raymond and I have a lot to say about this, and we will talk right after the Fact Check Friday at the bottom of the hour. And also, again, looking forward to chatting with Doug Keck, as we always do on a Friday, with our Inside Word, with great programming on this amazing network. EWTN.com is a website, so you don't have to miss any of the great programs. You can go back to it. And in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about the new season of The Catholic View for Women, which will be airing on Sunday, September 5th. I believe that's actually Labor Day weekend. All right, let's give you a glimpse of the weather and what we're in for, because this tropical storm Henri is looking like a hurricane more and more. Let's give you just a quick summary. Excessive rain may create flooding in parts of the northern plains and mid-Atlantic today. Severe thunderstorms possible from the central plains into the upper Midwest. Henri will strengthen today into the weekend and also causing, again, additional problems in the northeast, where they're closely monitoring the situation. Already 6 minutes past the hour. As you can imagine, there is a ton of news to get through, so let's do that right now. It's a Friday morning. It's August 20th, and you are listening to the one, the only EWTN. Well, Christian leaders and aid organizations warning Afghanistan's terrified Christians to brace for a new round of persecution in the wake of the Taliban's takeover of the country. One Afghani Christian leader telling the aid organization International Christian Concern, "We are telling people to stay in their houses because going out now is too dangerous." The man, whose name was withheld for security reasons, saying Christians in the country fear the Taliban attacks on Christian communities and that they would start soon. They fear that it is only a matter of time before the attacks happen, going on to say it will be done mafia style. Some known Christians already receiving threatening phone calls, and these calls unknown people saying, "We are coming for you." Taliban fighters, meanwhile, torturing and killing members of an ethnic minority in Afghanistan after recently overrunning their village. This is according to Amnesty International and a report in the Associated Press. Amnesty saying this is fueling fears that they will again impose a brutal rule, even as they urged imams to push a message of unity at the first gathering for Friday prayer since the capital was seized. The Taliban have sought to reject moderation and have pledged to restore security and forgive those who fought them in the 20 years since a U.S.-led invasion. Ahead of Friday prayers today, leaders urging imams to use sermons to appeal for unity, urge people not to flee the country, and to counter, quote-unquote, negative propaganda about them. But many Afghans are skeptical, the AP and the Amnesty officials say. One report providing more evidence that undercuts the Taliban's claims that they have changed. Amnesty International saying that its researchers spoke to eyewitnesses who recounted how the Taliban killed 9 men in a village back on July 4th through the 6th, saying 6 of the men were shot and 3 were tortured to death. The brutality of the killings, a reminder of the Taliban's past, Amnesty International says, and a horrifying indicator of what Taliban rule may bring. Richard Engel is on the ground in Kabul telling us U.S. has evacuated another 3,000 people from Afghanistan.
Most arrive here already exhausted because to get here, they had to navigate through Taliban fighters who control the airport perimeter and whose idea of crowd control is using guns and whips.
A White House official saying the latest airlift bringing the total of U.S. evacuations to about 9,000. A report from Al Jazeera says the Taliban, meanwhile, has been making it harder to leave the country. Those reports claiming the militants have closed off the road leading to the Kabul airport in an effort to restrict the flow of people being evacuated. Also, a United Nations report says Taliban fighters have been conducting targeted door-to-door visits of people who worked with U.S. and NATO forces. The Biden administration yesterday finally acknowledging reports that evacuees were having trouble reaching the international airport in Kabul, which is surrounded by those Taliban checkpoints. Joe Biden will speak to the nation today about the evacuation from Afghanistan of American citizens and their families and vulnerable Afghans. His remarks will come as he's taking political fire from Republicans and Democrats over the chaos as the Taliban take over the country. Two top government spokespeople, as Mark Mayfield tells us, still say they're just not sure how many Americans are still in Afghanistan.
Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby admitted he doesn't know how many U.S. citizens remain as the Taliban take control. Meanwhile, State Department spokesperson Ned Price said he wasn't sure either. This comes as American troops are at the Kabul airport assisting people who want to leave.
A Taliban spokesman pledging to honor women's rights in Afghanistan, but there is widespread skepticism that will not last, as you heard earlier. Texas A&M Professor Gregory Gauss predicting there will be international calls to help women leave the nation as refugees.
I think we in the United States have a moral responsibility to do that. We should do it. But how much people in Europe will see that as something that practically they can do, I don't know.
He says there will be a debate over our moral responsibility after a 20-year military presence. And criticism of how Joe Biden is handling the Afghan withdrawal continues to come in from overseas, including from Great Britain. British MP Tom Tugendhat, who served in Afghanistan, became visibly emotional as he verbally attacked Biden in a speech on the floor of Parliament, calling him, among other things, shameful for maligning the whole of the Afghan military and accusing Joe Biden of having torn open old wounds with a withdrawal that felt like defeat. He took particular offense at Biden's comments about the Afghan army whom he served alongside.
To see their commander-in-chief call into question the courage of men I fought with, to claim that they ran, it's shameful. Those who have never fought for the colors they fly should be careful about criticizing those who have.
He, such as many other veterans of war, he said, struggled through anger, grief, and rage amid the news of the fall of Kabul. CNN, and Raymond and I will be talking about this a little bit later on in the program, continuing to offer critical coverage of Joe Biden amid his administration's turbulent military withdrawal from Afghanistan. Clarissa Ward, CNN's chief international correspondent, who's been reporting from Kabul, calling what she witnessed an absolute mess, offering a stunning rebuke to Biden's claim to ABC News' George Stephanopoulos that the pullout of troops out of Afghanistan, which quickly resulted in a takeover by the Taliban, was not a failure.
It is just an absolute mess. And we heard President Biden say yesterday in his comments to ABC News that this is not a failure. And I think a lot of people outside that airport, particularly those taking the kinds of extreme actions we're just talking about, would like to know, if this isn't failure, what does failure look like exactly?
FoxNews.com reporting an analysis piece published on CNN's website also offering a scathing response to Joe Biden's defense of the Afghan withdrawal. CNN White House reporter Stephen Collinson writing yesterday, Biden is failing to adequately explain why he so badly failed to predict the swift collapse of the Afghan state, and his credibility has been sullied because his confident downplaying of the risks of the withdrawal had been repeatedly confounded by several events. 7 months into his term, he said Biden no longer gets credit simply for not being Donald Trump. Another big story, of course, is still making headlines. A massive U.S. Navy transport ship on its way to Haiti to help provide relief following last weekend's 7.2 magnitude earthquake. Many aid workers already on the ground, such as Monty Oetker with Samaritan's Purse.
We're here to bring an emergency field hospital unit to the area that was stricken by the earthquake. We'll be handling various orthopedic procedures. So we brought in a lot of medical relief supplies, the infrastructure we need to operate.
The USS Arlington set to reach the devastated island nation by Sunday, carrying a fleet, surgical team, 200 Marines, two helicopters, and a landing craft. The U.S. Southern Command delivering a field surgical hospital Thursday, and the Pentagon expects to set up four field hospitals next week. The quake last Saturday already killing more than 2,000 people and leaving more than 12,000 hurt. And finally, in our news segment at 14 minutes past the hour on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection, August 20th, Jennifer Polsoni tells us parts of the East Coast around New York and New Jersey preparing for the potential impact of Tropical Storm Henri that could strengthen into a hurricane in the Atlantic.
Areas from Rockaway Beach, the east end of Long Island, to the Jersey Shore face dangerous surf, life-threatening rip currents, and gusty winds Saturday into early Sunday with lots of rain. Islip Town Supervisor Angie Carpenter says they're getting ready.
We've actually been in prep mode since Monday, and here we are Thursday because we were expecting Storm Fred.
Crews have been removing water from storm drains and clearing gutters, all in anticipation of the big storm.
Hope you're having a beautiful Friday morning, 14 minutes past the hour, whatever weather brings. Know that you can always tune in to us at EWTN. Thanks be to God for this network and our hundreds of affiliates around the country. And say a prayer in Thanksgiving because it's National Radio Day. Yay! We'll talk more about this with Doug Keck, Inside Word, also looking at the great programming and also looking back at the first Mother Angelica Award, which was given last week to the amazing Archbishop Charles Chaput. We'll be right back.
Join Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan September 11th at the Basilica of St. Anne in Detroit for an evening of reflection and entertainment. Visit ccsem.org for more information. Sponsorship opportunities are available and donated auction items are always appreciated. Support a great cause, win unique items, and celebrate with us both in person and virtually. Visit ccsem.org. That's ccsem.org for more information.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Genthe Automotive Group is a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio. The Genthe Group of Chevrolet, Honda, and Honda Power Sports is pleased to serve the Ave Maria audience with outstanding sales and service for all of Metro Detroit. As we emerge from this difficult year, the Genthe family is committed to honest and professional support for all the transportation needs of your family. They're ready to serve you 24/7 when you Google G-E-N-T-H-E. May God bless all of you.
Minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning, moving through the last few weeks of summer. It doesn't technically end until September, but it's August 20th already. My goodness, time flies. Always appreciate the great work of EWTN and our President and Chief Operating Officer, who joins us once a week out of his busy schedule. Doug, I've just been glued to so many of our programs, and I'm just so grateful that we have this opportunity to speak the truth. But let me start by congratulating you on 40 years on this National Radio Day. Of course, EWTN is also television, but what a great thing to honor one of our great leaders in the church. I mean, I had such great feedback when I posted this picture, this adorable picture of Michael Warsaw giving the Mother Angelica Award, the first, to Archbishop Chaput. Congratulations.
Yeah, definitely. Archbishop Chaput is a great man. I think he's done great work over the years. I think he's been one of the voices, consistent voices, over the years. Obviously, some relationship with EWTN and being the longest serving bishop on the Board of Governors over these years, made him really uniquely qualified to be the person that was selected for the first Witness to Providence Mother Angelica Award. And so, all of us who know him on a personal level will tell people, like Mother Angelica, he is who he seems to be. And I think in some ways today, what's even better is that he feels freed up a little bit to even maybe speak the truth even in a more loud way than he could before. Because sometimes people don't understand that, when you're in a situation and you have an official position and a personal position, you have to be careful about, indicating those things, because there are official positions and there may be personal positions. They may not exactly be the same.
One of the things that I see so much of, and to me it's so, so important, and I guess you and I look at it from a different perspective because we have this, we call it the inside word with you. You and I both come from the secular media, and I think one of the reasons why we're so passionate about what we do is because we know what it's like out there. Now, we're just starting to see, Doug, a little bit of a reality check with the media. You heard some of the stories ahead in the news. But you think about us here at EWTN, thanks be to God, we're able to talk about this.
Right. Well, I think one of the things with it is no one likes to be embarrassed. And unfortunately, the mainstream media, which has been carrying water for certainly Joe Biden over the last 18 months, and I think continued to do that wherever there might have been some setbacks, at least if you believe with the economy or inflation and other things, the southern border, where one would say that a normal person would say there's some problems here, it's not great. Mm-hmm. But the pictures and the images, as we were talking offline, coming out of Afghanistan can't be hidden.
Right.
And I think a lot of these people, they're embarrassed, and no one likes to be embarrassed, and people who have big egos especially don't like to be embarrassed. And so no one wants to take the blame, as we're seeing, you know, State Department's blaming the president, who's blaming the intel, who's, you know, the finger pointing's all over the place. And a lot of the reporting people want to make sure that they're not also tarred with whatever failure. No one likes failure. And obviously, there's no way you could spin this as anything but a disaster. I mean, it's a disaster. We can all agree that we should get out of Afghanistan.
Right, right.
That's fine. That wasn't the issue. That was the ploy that was used on Monday to act like that was the question. That was the straw man. That wasn't the issue. The issue was, if we know we're going out, and this is something we've been planning for years effectively, and certainly over the last year and a half there was a plan to actually do something about it. How could you have it go the way it's gone?
Right. But so just, terrible on every level, Doug. And
right.
And this is why analysis and really understanding, and Raymond brought this out in the World Over last night,
right,
about the religious connection here, because the secular media, even though, as you said, they know that they're being, they're waking up to the fact that they've been used, right, and in some ways, in some circles. But they don't understand, because they're pretty much religiously illiterate. You and I both know that. The
right.
religious implications here, because this is not just a political or a
Absolutely.
War thing with the Taliban.
Well, I've always said myself is that the Western elites believe that if you just give people sex, drug, and rock and roll,
yeah.
You know, kind of a thing, well, they'll get rid of all of these kind of, quaint belief systems and things, and everybody will be happy because, you know, we now have LGBT flags flying through the building and in the streets. And they don't understand, when you come to religion and things like that, yes, these people are willing to die for what they believe. You may disagree with it. You may find it, kind of a caveman-like approach to life. But that's the reality. But they can't equate with that because they don't have that. And so, again, they just are constantly confused over how this situation can happen like this, and why all these positive things that they view as so positive aren't necessarily viewed by everybody as being positive.
And this is why what we do here is so important. So speaking of our great programming, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk about what's coming up, in addition to all the great news outlets that we have for people to follow on this developing story.
Right. For kids, we got the Little Francis tomorrow morning at 6:15 episodes. People can check that out with their sit down with the kids and watch that. Witness to Providence, the first annual Mother Angelica Award, is going to be re-aired tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, Pius XII Under the Roman Sky Part 1 is going to be airing tomorrow night. We're also going to be airing after that Hope, Our Lady of Naca, wonderful historical docudrama that we did and produced about Our Lady of Naca. So if you're not familiar with it, get familiar with it. And then Blue Collar Apologetics, five-part miniseries that John Martinoni did. And also, John's going to be on next week with Father Mitch, because his book is out based on the series, and people can look for that as well. And of course, go to EWTN.com for all the information about all the other great programming we have. And don't forget, on-demand podcasts, they're all there. So if you miss anything or you want to go and see what else is on there, go to our EWTN on-demand page.
Yeah, and we had John on the other day in his new book, and I was honored to write the foreword. It's a great book because it just is so easy for people to embrace. And so we're going to actually, we were chatting off air, we're going to see if we can like dive into it over the next couple of months and maybe pick. He gives like four different strategies in the new book and kind of like pick a strategy a week to talk about different ways to reach people.
Right. I think one of the things we try and do at EWTN, we try and do on the network and radio and anyway, is offer different approaches and different opportunities, because we all learn differently and we're all at different different stages in our faith walk and our knowledge of the faith. And so it's important that we have different things for different people that are more and more accessible. For some people, blue-collar apologetics is right up their alley. Somebody else might say, no, I like to listen to Father Spitzer, you know, because
right.
he's talking high-end stuff, or fill in the blank, or I like Scott Hahn because I like the way he presents information.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bob and Penny Lord, those old shows, because of the fact that, you know, they were regular people. So that's the idea, is to offer that, because the great spirituality of Catholicism, and that it's all different in different ways, and it reaches people, but what matters is whether it converts them.
Amen. And it's universal, right? And that's what Catholic
Absolutely.
Means. Doug, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Appreciate all the great work. Congrats on
Always.
40 years. And happy National Radio Day and week. We'll
Absolutely.
Be right back. Talk about
years
that.
Ago
yes, I know. And I was only a year old. I'm only 41. Uh-huh. Now I have to go to confession. Okay. We'll be right back. 25 minutes past the hour on a Friday. Catholic Connection, 28 minutes past the hour on Friday morning to do something called Fact Check Friday, looking at the media, and we'll have sort of, I would say, this expanded version of the segment today, because the wonderful Raymond Arroyo from EWTN and Fox News and all of his many best-selling books, he's going to be joining us up next after this segment to kind of talk a little bit more about the media on this National Radio Day, but more importantly about how the media are or aren't responding in terms of doing their jobs with this catastrophe that continues to unfold over in Afghanistan. Now, as we mentioned, there have been some glimmers of hope, but we shouldn't be just raving about the media, because they're finally doing the basics and, you know, trying to keep a check on power and get to the bottom of the situation that continues to develop, as we mentioned. So we'll talk with Raymond about that, and also really about his show last night. If you didn't see The World Over, go online, go to EWTN.com or TheWorldOver/EWTN. You can watch it again. But great interview, really diving into what's at stake, a much bigger picture even than what the media are saying, as we mentioned before with Doug Keck, because of the religious implications of the Taliban and what they're hoping to accomplish. All right, so today is National Radio Day. And obviously for me and for all of us who are in broadcasting and involved in EWTN radio, it means a great deal, because radio is such a personal medium. Now, even though when I was in college, I studied both radio, TV, and print, majored in journalism, minored in broadcast and cinematic arts, my first experience on the air, going back actually to when I was 14 years old in high school, was on the radio. And my first jobs right out of college in 1981 were radio, and I made the switch from radio to TV in 1988, but I've done both, actually all three, ever since. And I think radio is an I love TV, but to me, radio is such a personal medium. It's so much more personal, maybe because it's a little bit more simple in terms of the way it's brought into your homes and now on your hands and on your laptops, right, in so many different formats. So I just wanted to share a fun story about radio. And this happened, and this was a real godsend for me and Deacon Dom. It happened on our 25th anniversary, which was quite a while ago. We were celebrating our 25th anniversary in Italy, and we were staying on the Ligurian coast, which is the northwestern side of Italy, near Genoa, north of Cinque Terre, in this particular town called Rapallo. And it's a great place to stay, because you're just north of Cinque Terre, close to the very high-end Portofino, but you don't have to worry about the hotel prices, because they're much more reasonable in Rapallo, which is one of the reasons why we chose it, but it's still just as beautiful. And you can hop on a boat, or you can hop on the train and go down to Cinque Terre and then hop on and hop off and see those beautiful little towns known as the Five Earths or Five Lands, which is where the Cinque Terre comes from. So anyway, we're in our beautiful little hotel on the waterfront. Picture it, as Sophia from Golden Girls would say. And we're walking through the lobby one day, and we see this brochure about this Marian shrine that we knew nothing about. I don't know why. But this Marian shrine is at the top of this mountain in Rapallo, where we were staying. And so we thought, wow, what a great thing to do. And we said, let's make an effort. Let's find out when the cable car goes up. Because we saw the cable car going up and down, and we had intended to go up there because it looks so pretty, just to get the different viewpoints, you know, from above the ocean there along the Mediterranean and the Ligurian coast. But it is the Shrine of Our Lady of Montalegro, and it's absolutely beautiful, and they have a beautiful church there, and there's an icon, And there's a place where you can go, and obviously being a church, you can go for Mass there, and then there's a restaurant connected to it. But unbeknownst to us, it also had a connection to the one, the only, Marconi. So we're going up, and we're saying, you know, let's make this effort. Let's get up there for Mass, and let's get up there to pray and see this beautiful shrine. And so we take the cable car, and we're going up, and we're looking around. And this cable car was just, it was stunning how high it is. And just going over the mountains of Ligurian coast, and you can see beautiful Portofino, San Marguerite Liguori. You can see way down to Cinque Terre in the distance to the south of you. You're looking north to Genoa. I mean, it's just phenomenal, the beauty there, right? And we're all excited because we're going to see this Marian shrine. And we step off the cable car, and there's this plaque, and I see the name Marconi. And so right away I have Dominique take a picture of me, and I read about it, and what it was saying, I took a picture of it, and then I was able to translate it later on, is that was his town. Rapallo was where he was from. And of course we know his connection to discovering radio, the radio invention, and he would do actually tests from there, from the top of the mountain down to ships in the bay to test the radio signal. And it started there in Rapallo. So that was just a really, I think, kind of a hug from the Lord. You know, the Lord does that. When you say, okay, I want to find out more about this saint or this shrine or this, God just shows up in ways that we never expect. And I just thought that that was like God giving me an affirmation. And this, again, was a while ago. Dominic and I, God willing, I mean, in a few weeks we'll be married 38 years. So that was, what, 13 years ago, right? And I just think about this gift of being able to come to you every day on the radio and then to be just, you know, in that area celebrating our marriage and then bumping into this icon, you know, in radio, not to mention going on to see this beautiful icon of our Blessed Mother. So Guglielmo Marconi was born in 1874. His invention of the radio was a groundbreaking invention, of course. It had significant implications on just about every aspect of human life. Radio transmissions enabled humankind to communicate around the globe without wires. The radio was seen as an advancement of the telegraphic technology and was a basis for wireless improvements. His discovery is a foundation for radio and TV broadcasts. It is also the technology that paved the way for Wi-Fi and smartphones we use today. So radio, as I said, is such a personal medium. And on this National Radio Day, what I did was I found some stats about radio just for background. And I hope you appreciate the hard work that all of our affiliates do, because being in Catholic radio and Catholic media in particular, many of the people who are running these radio networks in your own backyard are doing this sacrificially, because you don't make a ton of money. It's not about that. It is about you know, saving souls. As Mother Angelica always said, if she could save one soul with starting EWTN, all of her struggles and her suffering would have been worth it. But radio is such a huge way to communicate the faith. The first commercial radio broadcast back in 1920. There are now over 15,000 radio stations in the U.S. and more than 40,000 worldwide. One in five Americans say listening to the radio is one of the top little things they look forward to each day. In a recent poll finding it was the number one thing missed about their commute last year, right? Because a lot of people weren't commuting anymore because they were home. A study in 2016 finding that radio personalities were considered one of the best jobs you could have. The radio is the 11th most important invention of all time, according to a poll that came out recently. The top three, electricity, phones, and of course, vaccines, right? But also radio up there as well. So happy National Radio Day to all of our affiliates out there, to EWTN and to my own Ave Maria Radio. Work together to bring you all these different programs, including Catholic Connection. And if you haven't done so yet, and if you can, please keep us between, as Mother Angelica always said, and Father Mitch Pacwa still says, your gas and electric bills, and support EWTN and your local station, because we work together to give you Catholic radio 24/7 for Catholics and other Christians. Someone who knows that very, very well is my friend Raymond Arroyo. He joins us up next to talk more about the media and what they need to do to keep a check on power, which is what they're supposed to be doing in the first place. We'll be right back. Raymond Arroyo really needs no introduction. Internationally known award-winning journalist, producer, and New York Times best-selling author, founding news director, managing editor, and lead anchor for EWTN News. He is seen in more than 350 million homes on six continents each week and heard on more than 500 AM/FM affiliates and the standalone Sirius channel throughout the U.S., of course. And so excited to have my friend Raymond Arroyo, and love his program the world over. Also love his segments on Fox News and many of his books. But Raymond, you keep me sane, both at the world over and your different segments on Fox. Okay, so you and I have been at this a long time, and we have these conversations behind the scenes about the media. I just wanted to ask you in general, as we start this conversation, do you think that some in the secular media are finally getting an inkling of a clue of, okay, gee whiz, it might be time to really do our jobs? Your thoughts?
Well, I'm not sure, Teresa. And, you know, happy radio day to you, and,
yep,
and to the great contributions you do, you know, day in and day out. Keeping people, giving people fuller context and real information, much of it suppressed or ignored. Look, that's where the bias comes. And you wrote a whole book about this. It's in the bias is in what's omitted, not often in what's included in a story. And, you know, this morning, there's a new Reuters story, an exclusive Reuters story, where the FBI is saying there seems to be no coordination, none, about what happened on January 6th, that those people weren't there to overthrow the election or the government. They simply blundered into the Capitol, and, you know, Granny's taking pictures in the rotunda while a couple of, you know, militia groups are breaking windows. But there was no coordinated effort there. But what have we been told since January?
Right.
This was an insurrection. Trump planned
worse
it.
Worse than 9/11, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, 500 people plus arrested, some still in federal custody. You know, so we call that an insurrection. What we saw in Afghanistan this week, that's what an insurrection looks like. And this is one that's fueled, and the media never reports this. They talk about them to them as if it's, you know, Trudeau taking over the Canadian government, the way they address and interview the Taliban. But the reality is, what you're dealing with here is a deeply held and long-standing religious civil war in that country. And these are Sunni militants. The Taliban are tribal, very ignorant Sunni fundamentalists. That's who they are. And we should be so worried about what's happening in the Middle East, because they are forging ties with Iran that we have given them a military base of operation from which to project terror, not only throughout the Middle East and Europe, but on our own shores. And let's not forget that air base, you see those aircraft flying out of Afghanistan from that air base. That air base was also, Teresa, which isn't widely reported, the home of a prison where we kept Al-Qaeda and Taliban militants who had enacted or organized terrorist attacks here in America. That's where we held them, and they hadn't been prosecuted yet. The Trump plan was to prosecute or send those people to Middle Eastern jails to face prosecution. The Taliban released all those people. The Biden administration allowed them to go in, throw the doors of those jails open, and release some of the most evil, hardened terrorists back into the system. Some of the guys we saw lead this particular takeover of Afghanistan, they were in Guantanamo.
Yeah.
We traded them. Obama traded them for Bertol. So what we're facing here is an absolute foreign policy collapse, a dereliction of duty, really, in many ways, among our intelligence community, our defense community, and some are saying in the White House itself. And maybe there's a case to be made.
Well, there's so much confusion, and I was watching, and I was really trying, you know, to pull all these different sound bites together for my newscast this week to show the contradiction. Because last month we know that Joe Biden said that it's not going to be, and you mentioned this last night in your World Over reports and your interviews, it's not going to be Saigon, and yet you have the images of the helicopters coming in. I mean, like carbon copy of what happened in the fall of Saigon, right? And then you have Blinken saying, oh, it's not going to happen from a Friday to a Monday. It happens from a Friday to a Monday in terms of most of the horrendous activity. And then what really struck me this week, as a journalist who's covered so many press conferences, and when I was in the secular media, I did cover different events with various, you know, candidates that came through, even, you know, the president and the vice president when they came through Detroit or whatever.
Sure.
And I've never seen a response from a federal official with a deer in the headlights look when the defense secretary was asked by one of the reporters, and I'm paraphrasing, a woman asked, so you're telling us that we have to negotiate, we have no choice but to negotiate with the Taliban for the thousands of Americans that are still there. And he just stood there. He stood there, didn't say anything.
Right.
And then Milley steps up to the podium and then gives some, you know, deflection or whatever about, well, we're doing this, that, or the other thing. But he was dumbfounded. The Secretary of Defense.
Well, you are watching in real time. This is what we have been living under for years. And frankly, people have looked the other way. This is what Trump dealt with. This is what we've been watching around the world. It's the failure of our intelligence and our defense community. They don't know which end is up. And they're led by the nose by defense contractors who want to spend billions and trillions of dollars. And that's the other piece of this. Not only have we unleashed this terrorist base in the Middle East and allowed it to be created, we funded it, Teresa. You and I, the people listening, we sent trillions of dollars there. And Trump's idea was to pull our troops out and blow up all the military installations, including the airstrips, so they couldn't be used and the weaponry couldn't be used. Instead, Biden does this hasty pullout. We are leaving behind hundreds of armored vehicles, airstrips, our entire embassy, all kinds of installations throughout the country. So we have basically furnished the Taliban and Iran and soon, I think, China to come in and have a base of terrorist operations in the Middle East. This is an infernal blunder.
Yeah, at so many levels. It's also a blunder of the media, though, too, Raymond. And you and I have been doing this for a very long time. Raymond Arroyo is our guest, again, news director and chief anchor for EWTN.
Well, that's not too long to read.
Well, I mean, you look great. I think we both look pretty good. We have that olive oil of LA thing going on because we're both Italian-American. But no, seriously, the dereliction of the media, you and I, I've been on your show talking about this. You've been on mine. But we're finally seeing these little glimpses. I want to play this clip of one of the reporters from CNN defying what Biden said in this quote-unquote interview he did with Stephanopoulos the other day and saying that, oh, it was fine, there were no mistakes. But listen to what the reporter on the ground, the CNN reporter on the ground, had to say about that.
It is just an absolute mess. And we heard President Biden say yesterday in his comments to ABC News that this is not a failure. And I think a lot of people outside that airport, particularly those taking the kinds of extreme actions we're just talking about, would like to know, if this isn't failure, what does failure look like exactly?
So all of a sudden, CNN, which has been just in a love fest with Harris and Biden and anyone on the left, and it's been all hate Trump, all hate conservatives all the time, now they're getting a glimpse of reality. And I just, it's okay, fine, but we shouldn't pat them on the...
Is that Clarissa Ward?
Yes, it's Clarissa Ward.
Clarissa Ward, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what a piece of that is. You know, reality breaks through when you find yourself in the middle of a dangerous situation.
Right.
Clarissa Ward found herself outside the airport, surrounded by these horrible Taliban fighters, and they were roughing up her producers. They were threatening her, and then she filed the report you just played. That's a marked change from her initial reports,
right,
which were they're chanting death to America.
But they sound really nice.
Actually, very friendly.
Yeah.
So we've seen the evolution. And look, I've been in those situations in Egypt where I was surrounded before I came to EWTN, surrounded by the Muslim Brotherhood and some of these other groups. It's scary. I get it. It's hard for a reporter out there. But that's why you have to go extricate yourself to a safe location to file your reports. You don't do it in the middle of a hot situation. But look, people are coming to the reality here that Joe Biden is not in control of foreign policy. He's not in control of domestic policy either. In fact, we're not sure if he's in control at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that begs an enormous question. when you are the leader and have been elected leader of the free world.
So in terms of if the media had been doing even an inkling of their job, and again, I don't want to give them too much credit for what they're doing now. I mean, this is what they're supposed to do every day. These are the questions that you raised in your great interview last night on this situation and have continued to raise on Laura Ingraham's show as well. But I think we would be in a much different situation because you and I are trained, Raymond, that we're supposed to keep a check on power. That's what the media are supposed to do. This is how it was set up in this great country of ours, and this is what our founding fathers believed. There has been such a dereliction of duty, absolutely, in terms of the government, but also the responsibility of the media. And I think they're feeling it, too. If you notice some of the pieces from the Washington Post or the New York Times, they have people there in addition to CNN, and they're realizing now that,
reality.
Right.
It's like 9/11. It's like 9/11, Teresa. Look, terrorist activity has happened and will happen. That became enormous because it was the center of the media universe. Terrorism had landed on their doorstep. When it affects you personally, it means something. And that's what we're seeing happening here. But, you know, look, the number one thing a journalist has to be is curious. You have to always be curious and challenge what you're hearing and seeing and check things out. That's your job, to confirm or deny things for the public. What I found here is an unwillingness to even ask the questions. And just seeing the state of Joe Biden day to day, and initially it was mildly humorous. Then it got deadly serious during the campaign. And I was one of the only people asking, are we sure he's home? He doesn't seem capable of putting together basic syntax or ideas.
Or even in the interview with Stephanopoulos.
Right.
We don't have the whole thing, right?
Right. You don't have the whole thing. That was a heavily edited interview, and it was a disaster. Then I read the transcript. The transcript is like trying to translate Farsi. None of it makes sense. It's all topsy-turvy. No idea coheres. He's contradicting himself. And they saved him by editing the thing down. And it was still bad. Serious questions need to be asked about Joe Biden's mental state, his cognitive abilities, and whether he grasps and understands the dire consequences that he's thrown the country into.
Yeah, and the media are going to have to face God, obviously. We all do, but they're going to have to face people here because their lack of continuing coverage or their failure to open up this story and to really look at and to really say, wait a minute, Mr. President, just last month you said that there wasn't going to be a fallout. We weren't going to have this problem. Now you're saying you were told that chaos would ensue, and then you have Milley saying we didn't know. So it's all over the map. And they don't even know how many people are there.
Everybody's contradicting everybody and trying to cover their, you know, backsides. But the heart of this, Teresa, and what's getting lost in all of this are the consequences to the American people.
Amen.
First of all, the Christian community there is going to be slaughtered.
Right.
They're going door to door right now. I know for a fact they're forcing young girls to marry their fighters. They're forcing every woman into a burqa. The Taliban and Sharia law are back, and there is no freedom for those people, particularly religious freedom. That's A. B, we're importing 65,000 Afghan refugees, 65,000 to our shores. We're putting them in military installations, and then some of them are going to be settled very shortly in Dallas, Austin, and Houston, Texas. Where is the consult with the local community leaders about this?
Right.
I'm not so sure, and I've spoken to people in the region. I'm not so sure it's a good idea to bring refugees out of their native region. They should be allowed to settle near their homes so they can go back in time if they so choose. And they will not have that option if they're living in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
It also dislocates the community. You know, it dislocates.
You talked about that last night in terms of what that's doing to the people and bringing them here, that most of them would rather stay in the region, at least near to their homes and family. Raymond, I want to have you back on again because there's so many other questions that I have. And I want to refer people to your program last night, which was excellent, really diving into this very deeply. Raymond Arroyo, news director for EWTN, best-selling New York Times author, and, of course, host of The World Over and contributor to Fox News, and so appreciate his comments on the media. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back. Let you know what's coming up on Monday. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I was chatting with Andrew Krucek. There's so many stories throughout this whole situation we're working on for you for Monday. So many issues. And as Raymond said, we want to cover the issue with women and girls. It's just off the charts. Anyhow, thanks be to God for the opportunity to talk about this openly on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio and all of our wonderful affiliates on this National Radio Day. Have a great weekend. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And we'll talk to you Monday. Bye.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.